This is Kabbalah 99. I'm Deborah Sophia. We have on our call today Sheikh Hassan Manasra, the International Director of the Abrahamic Reunion. He has been an active contributing peacemaker with the AR for more than two decades. He is an ordained Sheikh in the Qadri Sufi order, and he's the son of Sheikh Abdel Salam Manasra, who is the head of the order in the Holy Land. So welcome, Sheikh Hassan.
Thank you, Deborah. It's my honor to be with you. I'm so happy to be in this meeting today.
Oh, we're glad to have you. You are the founder of the Anwar Il Salam, the Lights of Peace Center in Nazareth, and the director of the Islamic Cultural Center, also in Nazareth. You give lectures about Islam, Islamic history, Sufism, and contemporary Muslim life in the Middle East, Europe, and in the USA. So how did you come to get involved with the Abrahamic Reunion?
It's a good question. I began about more than 20 years with Abrahamic Reunion. It's through Eliyahu McLean, my friend Eliyahu McLean. He is a great peacemaker from Israel, and he will known in all the world, especially in Europe, USA, Israel, and the Palestinian territories. You know, he invited me when David Less and Anna Less and others came to the Holy Land to create a peacemaking between the people and to bring the people to be together. And they invited me. Unfortunately, I was very busy with another group. I'm working more than 33 years in this field. But later, less than 7 months, we created an iftar for Ramadan, a breakfast for Ramadan for the Muslim holy month, you know. And we did it together. And since that time, more than 20 years, I'm with the Abrahamic Reunion. And I came to be a part of this work. And I became a co-director in the Israeli side with Eliyahu McLean at that time.
And you've been a peace builder for, you were saying, more than 30 years?
Yes,
prior to the Abrahamic Reunion. Right, okay. You were born in Israel? Where were you born?
Yes, I was born in Israel, in Nazareth.
Nazareth.
The city of Jesus.
Okay.
And I raised there. And after that, I moved to Jerusalem. And I began to make all of this work between Nazareth and Jerusalem.
I see. And what is your work now with the Abrahamic Reunion?
I'm the international director of the Abrahamic Reunion because since I came to USA in 2015, you know, we changed all of our work because we began to be a very strong and big organization. We began to work in Europe, in Canada, in USA. And as we say, the essence of our work is in Israel and Palestine. And then I began to travel in all of these places to train new facilitators and people and to create more projects in each city that we visited at the time. And until today, we are running. But, you know, after the coronavirus, we put all of our effort to work between the Israeli and the Palestinians and Arabs, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and Druze in the Holy Land.
That's very interesting. And you mentioned Druze. I'm not sure all of our listeners know that group. What are the Druze? Who are the Druze?
The Druze, they are a community. They have a religion. They believe in the prophet Jethro as their prophet, and they are so good group in living in Israel, northern Israel, especially the area of from the area of Haifa and northern Galilee and so on. And they are minority of the minority. They are a small community, but they are so active in the peace process in Israel between all of the religions there, interfaith, you know, interfaith groups.
And I remember you have some interaction with the Bedouins as well.
Yeah, sure. And we have also lots of connection with the Bedouins. The Bedouins, they are Muslims, you know that.
Yes.
But they Bedouin because their style of their lives, they used to live in the past in their tents and so on. But today, no, we are in very modern world. Then they have houses like us and so on. But we have great connection with them, and we work with them. Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. They are a great part in our work. And we have the co-chair of the Israeli board. He is a Bedouin.
Excellent.
Yeah.
extremely multicultural, multi-religion. So your work in the Holy Land is to bring people together. Can you describe what a meeting is like in the Holy Land?
Yes. You know, we know that there is some misunderstanding. I cannot say it's complete misunderstanding in Israel between especially the Muslims and the Jews, and between the Arabs and the Israelis, like between Christians, Arabs from one side and the Jewish from other side. It's misunderstanding. They don't understand one another. And between the Palestinian and the Israeli, sometimes it can be clash, Gaza. And we say it's very important to bring all of these people to come to be together. You come to be together and to understand one another, to realize that they have neighbors, and their neighbors from the same family, from the tent of Abraham, from the same father of all of us. And it's very important to realize that and to draw forth all of our hatred, all of our prejudice, all of our fear, and to throw it out to the sea and to come to meet. Okay. And we created groups. For example, we have youth groups, we have women groups, we have clergy groups, and we have elder groups. And we meet each month together, and we discuss, we are talking, and we told them, listen, come to meet. Don't agree, but respect. Don't agree. Because if you'll agree about everything, you will be them, and they will be you.
Right.
We need these differences. These differences are very important for all of us, because it can make multicultural, multi-traditional, multi-faith, and so on. And through the differences, we can teach one another. But respect, don't agree about each point. Okay, it's your opinion. You need to keep your opinion, but respect their opinion, because their opinion, it's theirs, and yours, it's yours.
So it's a foundation of respect. So I noticed when I was in Israel and the surrounding lands and the Holy Land in general, as an ambassador for the Abrahamic Reunion, I noticed that some of the Holy Lands that Jews want to pray in are in Palestinian areas, and some of the lands that Palestinians want to pray in are in Israeli areas. So it seemed to me the only solution was to get along so that everyone could access the Holy Lands of their past and of their present, especially true in Hebron. It's a very fascinating place, yeah. Hebron. Yeah. And that's where our matriarchs and patriarchs are buried, is in Hebron.
Yeah.
That's the Cave of Machpelah.
Yeah, Me'arat HaMachpelah, right.
Right.
It's right, right, right. I understand. But this is the longing for both sides, the Palestinians and the Israelis, to the place, to that land, to the yards, the beauty, to the fragrance of the history from that land. They need to smell and to me, to taste the fragrance of the history.
Mm.
And if they will realize that this history belongs to both of them, they will not fight, because it can include all of us together there. We can pray together, we can sing together, we can eat together, we can chant together. But the problem, sometimes the ego raises within our unit as human being, and then we say, it's ours. My father is stronger than your father, and so on, so on, so on, so on. And they are with Abraham in Hebron. They need to respect Abraham, to respect the land. I'll tell you a story. Short story. One day, Dov Ilboim, he is one of the greatest scholars in Israel. He's like a philosopher, you know, and he say he has episodes called Mikablim Shabbat, and it's broadcasted at Mutzai Shabbat, and then he came and he said to me, you know, he called me, he say, Shalom, Rabbi Hassan. I realize his voice. I say, Shalom, Sheikh Dov. And both of us, we laughed. And he said to me, because you are the rabbi of the Muslims, I will invite you to come to talk about the life of Sarah, Parashat Chayei Sarah. I say, because I am the rabbi of the Muslims, I will come. And I went there. You know, he welcomed me and he say, I heard about you and so on. So I say, okay, but I heard about you more. And he began to ask in a very beautiful way. Suddenly he say, who is the sacrifice? I say, who? I'm afraid. He say, why? I say, listen, though. The question, it's not the right question to ask. He say, why? I say, because. If the sacrifice is Isaac, he is my uncle. And if the sacrifice is Ishmael, he's my father. It's still in my family. The sacrifice will be from my family. I belong to this great family. Second thing, if Isaac, he is the stronger, he will protect me because I'm his nephew. And if my father is the strongest, he will protect all of us, the Jews and them. Third thing, it was exam, test for Abraham, succeeded after 5,700 years. He didn't succeed. And we do not succeed. This is the time to succeed, to believe everything is going well and we will be very strong together.
That we need each other. We're conceived together. We're bound together. We can live together.
We will refuse to agree for everything. We will say no, but we will love one another.
You know, husband and wives don't even agree on everything.
Sure. Father and son, you know, right. Mother and daughter. You are right. You are right. Yes.
Okay, so you've seen the Abrahamic reunion change over time, and what impact has it made in the Holy Land among the people? What do you perceive?
Okay. First of all, you know, we since I arrived to you, I say here, you know, I say we need to do something to be bigger, and we began to create lots of projects and lots of meetings between the people and to get to other people and new people and so on. And really we succeeded and we began to create more projects. Through this small project, the people began to, we began to attract the people and they began to come to us. They began to believe that we will create more and more effect on the streets. And we began to create a very real peace, not a fake peace. You know, the people began to believe in Abraham. Because if you will be straight and righteous person, the people will believe you and your work, and they will come to work with you. You know, we worked with very radical people, and we convinced them, and they began to be part of us. We worked with Jews, Muslims, Christians, Druze, you know, from different kind.
Is everyone religious, or do you work with secular groups too?
We this is a good question. We came through the religion because most of the people say all the conflict comes from the religion. We say no, because if you will find conflict from some place, you will find the same solution at the same place. Mm. And what happened to us? We had religious, conservative, secular, non-believer, every people we had with us, because we believe in the human being, in the person as a person, and we love all of the people all around us. Secular people is sometimes better because they work, they give to the society, to the people, right? Mm-hmm. We cannot refuse the secular people. We cannot refuse the secular people. We must respect them and we must bring them because they are part of us.
Right, they're part of the solution.
Part of the solution, part of our souls, part of our spirits, part of our unit, part of our life. Mm. And they are a great mirror for us to see ourselves within them.
I see. That's very mystical, the oneness of all. There is a story about a young man that I guess he'd been wounded by some Israeli fire and he was very angry and could have become a terrorist, but he got involved with the AR and went a different direction. Can you say something about that young man?
Yes, I remember that he was wounded by Israeli soldiers. And, he began to be very angry and he began to be against, and slowly he thought that he will be a terrorist and will come to do bad things. Suddenly, we had meeting and he came to the meeting and listen, oh, it's a different kind of speech. After that, we met him. I met him. And we began to talk slowly. And I invited him to another meeting and another meeting. After that, he began to be a very great member of our Abrahamic reunion in Israel.
He turned him around by showing him an alternative, by acknowledging what he'd been through and showing him an alternative.
I'll tell you another story.
Okay, great.
One day, we heard about a very radical rabbi in Tzfat. He, ordered all of his students to kill the Arabs and to burn their houses in Tzfat and not to accept any Arab come to study medicine or something in Tzfat. And they really, his students burned some houses and some places and so on and so on. One day, I called Eliyahu McLean. I said to him, Eliyahu, do you have the number of rabbi of Tzfat, Harav Eliyahu? He said, yes. I said, give me his number. I said, crazy. I said, give me his number, please. He said, okay, why? I said, I want to call him. I will not fight with him. My mission in the world, my mission since I was born is to create peace, to be peacemaker. I didn't fight anyone in my life. He said, yes, I know. And he gave me the number. He said to me, I'm not responsible. I said, don't worry, Eliyahu, it will be okay. I remember I called Rabbi Eliyahu. Yes, hello, shalom. Shalom, yes, who's talking? Sheikh Ghassan Manasra. Silent. Was silent. Yes, Sheikh Ghassan. I say, I want to talk to you. He said, Sheikh Ghassan, we don't have something against you. You are a good person and you are a peacemaker. We know that. But I'm not against you. I say, I didn't talk about myself. I don't afraid. You know why? He said, why? I say, because I love you. He said, oh, I hear you. I said, great that you're hearing me. I want to tell you something, he said. I say, Thursday, that date, we will have a very good meeting, interfaith meeting in El Jazar Mosque in Akko at 2 o'clock afternoon. I'm waiting for you. Bye. I closed the. He
Wow.
didn't respond. I say that to Eliyahu. He said, what do you say? He will not come. He will do. I said, hey, Eliyahu, don't worry. And we went there, the chief rabbi of Akko and the Galilee, he was with us. He's a so great person. And sheikhs and rabbis and priests, and from the Druze community also, we had with us there. It was 1:45. Eliyahu said, he will not come, he will not come. He will not. I said, Eliyahu, 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 relax, relax, that will be okay. He said, I told you. I say, okay, I don't need him to come, but if he will come, I'll be happy. He said, okay. 1:55. I told you he will not come. It was 2. He said, you see? And I said to him, look behind you. What? You know him? He said, Shalom, Rabbi Eliyahu. He said, hey, Eliyahu, how are you? And I came slowly. Shalom, Rabbi Eliyahu. He said, Shalom, Kvudo. I guess you are Sheikh Hassan. I said, yes. And all of his guards with the guns. And I said, no, they cannot enter to the mosque.
No.
He said, And one of his guards said, we need to protect him, I say. First of all, God will protect him. And I'm also protecting him. Give me your hand. And I told him, you cannot enter the mosque with this weapons. He said to them, stop here. It was so nice. They stopped there and we entered. We arrived there and the rabbi said, who is this? One from Tag Meir. They saw him and they got out. I said, no, you made a mistake. You will see. And they set out. And the rabbi, and all of them spoke. The best word was for Rabbi Eliyahu. Since that time, Rabbi Eliyahu began part of Abrahamic reunion.
Really?
Yes.
Have Jews and Muslims always hated each other? Have we always been at war with each other through history?
No. They were in a very great connection along the history. They were a very, very great brothers and sisters together. If you look at the history, the Jews got a very great positions in the Muslim society because they were in a great coalition and alliance with Islam and Judaism, especially in Europe. And they stayed like this until the initiation of Israel state. And it shows us it's a political problem. It's not a religion problem. There's no problem between Islam and Judaism. There's the problem between Israelis and Arabs.
I see. So you see hope for improvement.
Sure.
So I remember visiting with the AR in Jericho, and there was a conference there a few years ago, and something really unexpected happened with people who didn't understand the reason we were there. Can you talk about that?
It was a misunderstanding between the Palestinians and the Israelis. We prepared, I remember we were together there.
Yes.
And we initiate a very great conference in Jericho at that time. And really, we invited lots of speakers and so on. And the first day was so successful, very successful day that we had there. But suddenly, the police began to come, and some youth began to burn tires and so on and so on. And the police came and asked, "Who is the responsible here?" I say, "I'm here. What happened?" And Abid, my son, came with me, and Muhammad Jamus, the Palestinian director, and we went. We had lots of police and security, and we began to talk with them. They say, you make normalization here. I say, no, it's not normalization. We try to make understanding, meeting, realizing, and knowing one another. We try to create a new future for our children. We try to create peace, not fear, not wars. We try to really pass this to the governments, Israeli government and a Palestinian government. And then maybe we can succeed to make peace. And what happened here? They say that universities, the students and the teachers, they are outside against you and they will make lots of problems. They want to throw all of you outside. I say, can you send to the teachers of the students, and also can you invite some students? I need to talk to them. They came. Yes, what is the problem? They say, part of the bad people speaking here. What is the name? Show me. Are you sure they are bad people? They say, yes, they against the Palestinians. They are Palestinians and they against the Palestinians. They support the Israelis. I say, I'm not sure. No, it's not true. They support the truth. And we began to discuss slowly, you know, until I say to them, I promise you that I work for you and for the students in Israel. I work for your brothers and babies, brothers and sisters, and for the Israeli brothers and sisters, for your elder people and for their elder people. And I promise you, there's nothing against the Palestinians or against the Israelis. But we arrived to a treaty there that we will stop the conference. That's it. They will go. And we stopped and they went. But we continued our activities outside, you know, in in the beach, in the Mediterranean, and so on, so on, in Israel, you know. And, but, you know, later, I connected a good connections between us and between the Palestinians, right? And especially the police. And we are in a very good connection with the police today. And they told us, please, let us know when you will come here, because when you will come here, we will help you to create a very great a conference.
Yes, and you had invited them to speak, but they weren't ready. They weren't prepared. So now they'll have time to prepare. For me, not having your background, it seemed to prove the point that we come here to be together, and then there's agitation against the peace efforts. It's like cutting off your foot. I mean, here we are helping, but I understand that it runs so deep and there's so much misunderstanding. For instance, the word normalization, I didn't know what that meant. Can you explain what is meant by normalization and why people are against that word?
Yes, many people against that word because they know normalization is to make the life regular between the Israelis and the Palestinians, to allow the Israelis enter to any place on the Palestinian government and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on, and to give, you know, to allow them to be in any place they need and to do what they need. But they say we can make normalizations. Give us our rights.
Right. So the point is they see normalization as granting rights to the Israelis, but not respecting their own needs. It's not a solution. It's a, yes. what would you call it?
Power, again.
The power play, rather than real solution. Yes. Yeah. And I can see why people would be against that. And maybe they hadn't seen another way. They hadn't seen a third way.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then for me as a Jew, having a homeland, having Israel, was a great cause for celebration. And some of my relatives moved to Israel, and my daughter went to Israel and went to med school there. But for the Palestinians, it's called the catastrophe. So why is it looked at as a catastrophe?
The catastrophe, it was so bad. It was so, so bad for that. You come to say, I want to demolish all of the nation. For the Palestinians, you feel, they feel the same as the catastrophe because they say we are in siege all the time. In siege from many dimensions. The Palestinians say that economical, cultural, and also we don't have a police, we don't have anything, and the Israelis can enter to any house to take what they need, and they can demolish any house. We cannot say no, yes, you know, like we are not a country. We are not, we don't have government. Israel is our government. They force everything to do. This is the Palestinians say, you know. The Israelis say, okay, but you have some terrorist groups like Hamas, like so. And the Palestinians say, okay, give us our independence and our rule, and you'll see we will take care for every radical person here in No, it's complicated to understand that position, Deborah.
So it's two people with tremendous histories in one area trying to learn to coexist safely.
Small area,
right. So what do you see as the direction for peace?
The direction for peace, first of all, it's very simple, Deborah, and it's very hard. It's very simple for you if you'll believe that you need to make the way to wear the peace, to be honest with yourself, and to see yours, yours, and theirs, theirs. Not to take theirs and to see it's mine. It's not yours. It's because each one, he has his privacy, her privacy. Let the person to find their privacy and take your privacy. They will respect you. I think it's come through culture, education. We can begin to educate from our house. It's not easy to go to meet, oh yes, we need peace. You go home and you open your TV and you see something happen. Yes, kill them. No, we just came from peace meeting. When you'll see this, take a breath and count until 10.
Right.
All your friends. Hello. Can we do something together? Do you think we can do something? Yes. Mm-hmm. I would call the other. Hello. What happened? Do you think it's true or not? Do you think they need to bomb the house? They need to attack poor people? They need... No. Then come to go together. Come to talk with our leaders together. Come to talk... You know, it's very easy. Mm-hmm. You can begin this with children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With youth.
Right. Rather than educating them in the negative, to educate them in the positive.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we're all human beings. And we all want the same things. We just have a different way of going about it and in a very small land. But I do have hope, because historically we've lived together in the past. I do have hope we can overcome the political imposition that's happened historically. And even though I'm Jewish, I really personally would like to see one nation governed fairly for all the people there, to have it be a democracy. And I'm not sure that that's a popular idea, but it is the vision I see. It happened when I was in Israel and Palestine and saw that the holy places cross the borders. And so must we.
Yes. I agree with you.
So what does the Abrahamic reunion need most now to continue its work?
I think the Abrahamic reunion need all of you to be. First of all, we need a financial support. It's very important. You know, to take a car without gas, you cannot travel. And I think it's very important that to have the financial support, very important to have spiritual support to pray for us, and very important to be in connection with us. You know, we have lots of prayer. For example, we have this year in the 31st, last day in the year, we have prayer, peace unity prayer. We make lots of activities. You can come and be with us. We invite all of you to come.
Is there a virtual way to join in nowadays?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can invite anyone you need, you know?
Right.
Come to see us. We will have clergy from different places.
Okay.
To come to pray with us and to give some words.
Now, is this online or is this in person right now?
No, online.
Online, okay.
Zoom, yeah. We go to AbrahamicReunion.com.
AbrahamicReunion.com.
Yeah, .com.
Yeah.
You can find our meetings and you can share, you know, be with us, share us in these meetings. It's very important. But the most important thing, if you are from Israel, go and watch. Go to the Abrahamic Reunion, Facebook Abrahamic Reunion. Go to YouTube sometimes. Go to Google the people there and see their activities, watch their activities, and be in connection with them. It will be great to be in connection, you know, and to contact. And, you know, to support us here, it's very important to explain to the people. Neighbor will tell neighbor, friend will tell friend. Mm-hmm. About our work. And it's very important not to leave us alone in the field, mm-hmm. on the ground. It's very important not to leave us alone in the ground, because we will not stop. Even we will be alone, we will not stop, because we promise.
But you got to put gas in the car and food on the plates. One of the things, when everyone comes together, they need to be transported together, and then they eat together and pray together. There needs to be food. We don't get manna from heaven right now, so we have to put it on the plates. So what I'm hearing is that you're planning on some programs for fundraisers, both for donations, but also for awareness of the possibility of peace, that we can work together. So it's both donations and education.
Yes, I can give for especially the Americans, Siri, of about the history and the work, the culture, the tradition, and the life in Israel and Palestine and the Middle East. I can give a series, 3 meetings, 6 meetings, 9 meetings, it's no problem. You know, the people will come, they will donate the Abrahamic reunion, and they will have good information about the area, how it's happened, why it's happened, what is there, who is living there, what's the life between the Arabs and the Jews, between the Jews and the Jews, between the Arabs and the Arabs, you know. It's very important, the culture. What is the culture? What is the codes there? You know, it's very important.
It's wonderful. And if someone wants to get in touch with you directly.
My phone number is 941-894-8481. The best email, it's Ghassan, Ghassan.manasra, Manasra, @gmail.com.
Well, okay. Thank you so much, Ghassan. It's so good to hear you. I love your stories, and the genuine love you have for all of us really comes across. And I look forward to taking your classes and continue to be a contributor and participator in the Abrahamic reunion. It's for our future, for peace.
Inshallah, be'ezrat Hashem, amen. Tudah rabah, Deborah. It was a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For more mind-heart awakenings like these, you can follow us on this podcast and on our blog at Kabbalah 99. That's where we discuss the weekly Torah portion through the lens of today's challenges and offer practices to stay sane, grounded, and connected. If you like this episode, please remember to tell one friend about it. Next week, we'll hear from another thought leader who will help us to explore our experience of life and our place in this universe of wonder. Thanks for listening. I'm Deborah Sophia. See you next week.